Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God would move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Father, you've been faithful and true. You've been loving and kind. You've been patient and forgiving. Father God, you've just been an awesome God. We praise you tonight. Father, we come tonight. And Father, I ask, Father God, that you would please forgive me where I failed you. Forgive me where I've been disobedient and rebellious. Forgive me, Father God, where I didn't do what I should have done.
Yes.
Father God, I ask that you would cleanse me and purge me and wash me while this snow in Jesus' name. Father, we come tonight, Father God, to stand before these, your people. Father God, to say a word on your behalf. Father, and I ask, Father God, that you would move me out of the way and allow your spirit to step up and speak to your people the things that you would have them to know. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to me and speak through me, that your people might be edified, but most of all, that your name might be glorified.
Yes.
Father God, I come to you tonight, Father God, asking that you would touch each heart of each and every person here tonight, Father God. Each and every person that may hear this word tonight, Father God, and touch their hearts, Father God, and that, Father, they may step out in faith, trusting in you, Father God, to be obedient to what your word is saying to them. Father God, let your Holy Spirit flow freely, that people's lives might be changed and souls saved. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're about to do. We praise you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight our text is going to be taken from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And our passages are going to be from the 4th verse to the 10th verse. And you finally, we encourage you to stand. We need to get in the habit of standing on God's word. We stand on our job, we stand on our friends, and we need to stand on God's word.
Yeah.
The word of God says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. For whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. May you see it. May the Lord bless the hearing, the reading, and the doing of his precious and holy word. Tonight, I want to speak with us on the topic of God's forever love. And as we continue in this relationship series, a marriage series, but it's not just marriage, it deals with people that are in relationships. Mm-hmm. we want to, first of all, cause us to know and to realize that the only way that we can love is that we love like God loves.
Well,
in the very beginning, God told man that you are to leave your father and your mother and cleave unto your wife. In Ephesians 5:25, it says that husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And the way Christ loved the church was the way we read in verses 4-8, which is what we consider unconditional love. There were no conditions to the love that Christ placed on the church. He just loved. He gave himself wholeheartedly. He gave himself freely. Tonight I want to look at 3 points. My plan is not to be before you long, and it may change because the Holy Spirit may say, hey, give them a little bit more. But we want to look at 3 points. Love is focused, love is faithful, and love is forever. Under our first point, love is focused. You know, as I prepared this sermon, you know, I kept trying to come up with my points. And the one thing that kept popping into my head is that love is focused. You have to be focused to love somebody.
Well.
Verse 4 says that love suffers long. Mm. Some translations say love is patient. Mm. Mm. You know, and if you're the husband or the boyfriend of some woman that has issues, or you're the wife or the girlfriend of a man that has issues, there are times that you have to be patient.
Well.
There are times that you're going to have to just bite your tongue because they're not going to say and do everything that you want them to do or say. So we have to be patient. So what we have to do is to be patient. We have to be focused.
Well,
the Word of God says that I need to be patient. So I'm going to work at being patient. So you have to focus on being patient. It also says that love is kind. You know, now when you living with a woman, perfectly she's your wife.
Well,
you know, we have people that are in relationships that are not married. And it's not a God-ordained relationship. Because you're living against what God has called us to do. We're talking about God's way of love. You know, I may be hurting somebody's feelings here today. But if you call yourself a godly person, somebody that has chosen to follow God's path, God didn't ordain that you live with a man or a woman apart from marriage. Now, it's not my intent to hurt anybody. But I'm going to speak what God has said to speak.
All right.
And God is saying that you need to marry.
Yeah.
That's God. Mm-hmm. Now moving on. Mm-hmm. You have to be focused to be happy. Mm. You have to be focused to not envy.
Yes.
You have to be focused not to parade yourself.
Yes.
To not be prideful or puffed up.
Yeah.
You have to be focused not to behave rudely.
Well.
You know, and that's... You know, sometimes your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend may say something out of line. And the first thing you want to do is bite their head off. You know, you want to get rude. You know, I'm dating a young lady. And I thank God for this young lady. Because this young lady, she checks me. You know, she can read me pretty good. But she checks me if... The tenor of my voice changes if we're in public. So, you know, she'll say, hey, look, you know, you can't talk to me like that. You know, that's around these people. I don't know, you know, any married man been in here that has experienced that, you know, well, they will. They'll roll their eyes, they'll cock their head, and you can't talk to me like that. So we have to learn. Like God called us to love, so we have to be focused so that we don't behave rudely.
Well,
we have to be focused not to seek our own. Because it ain't all about me.
Yeah.
The Bible says that the two shall be one flesh. One. So it's not about me and my plan or the way I want it done. It's the way that we are going to do it. So we have to be focused that I don't try to put mine before hers.
Yeah.
Or woman, that you don't put yours before his. Mm-hmm. But we have to be focused.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easily provoked. You got to be focused. Then when your wife or your girlfriend is talking about your relationship with the Lord, talking about how you such and such and such and such Christian, you have to be focused so that you don't get provoked.
Well.
You know, and I was in a relationship to where the woman knew that the way to get to me was to talk about my relationship with the Lord, about my spirituality.
Yeah.
That hurt me. And in the beginning, she could say it, and I got easily provoked. I have to tell the truth. You know, I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when she would do that, then I'd behave rudely. Then I began to seek my own.
Well.
Then I get bumped up. You know, because I wasn't focused.
Well.
But as that relationship began to come to an end, the Lord told me, you got to be focused. You can't get mad. You know your relationship with me. Can't nobody tell you what kind of relationship you got with me. You know, I know, that's all that matters. So we have to be focused. We have to be focused so that we don't think no evil. So we have to focus on the word. We have to focus in prayer. Love is focused. Love says that I'm going to do everything I can to make this woman the happiest woman in the world. Love is focused because that's loving that woman like Christ loved the church. And Christ was focused. Christ began his ministry and he was focused. He kept his eye on the cross. Christ was focused. And in our love relationships, we have to be focused. Because if we don't, the devil will lead us off, and then we're going to be right where the scripture tells us that we don't need to be. Those things that love is not.
Well.
We're going to be right there. But love is also faithful.
Right.
Now, faithful means being, if your husband or your wife tells you, well, honey, we're going to do something at such and such a time, you have to be faithful to be on time. Love is faithful now. Love is faithful to the household of faith. Love is faithful to the fellowship of other believers. Love is faithful to God's plan for your marriage. And God's plan for your marriage is that the two become one flesh. So we have to be faithful to our spouses. We cannot be out hanging out with the guys, doing the things that the guys do. Your best friend's gonna get married. You want to throw him a bachelor party. You can't be faithful to your wife, and you got a stripper jumping out of the cake, or coming out of the bathroom with ass clothes. That's not being faithful. That's being unfaithful. You wouldn't like it if she did that to you. So we have to be faithful. Be faithful to her. Whether it's your wife, whether it's your girlfriend, we have to be faithful. Love is faithful. Love is faithful to the needs and the conditions of our loved ones. We have to be there when they need us. You know, one of the things I've learned through marriages is communication is key. And in these two marriages, I've learned that I can come home and I can sit down in front of the TV or I can go upstairs and get in front of a book and never discuss what happened to me on my job.
Well.
But when she comes home, and she's been on her job, and she comes in, you sitting there watching TV, looking through the cameras, she sits down next to you, and she begins to tell you, honey, well, so-and-so did such-and-such-such, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and you're like, in your mind, you're saying, why don't you shut up? It's over with. Let it go. Leave it at the job. But that's what men do. But a husband has to be faithful. A husband has to be faithful to listen to what his wife is saying. That's communication. Communication is key in a relationship. And so we have to be faithful to listen to every little detail. Because if you're not faithful in that communication, you're going to have problems. Because she may, they whether you realize or not, they give you little pop quizzes over whatever it is they can drop on. And another thing is, you have to be faithful to encourage your wives in whatever it is that they're dealing with. Now, you don't go against God's word, because you have to stay faithful to the word of God. But you have to stay faithful to your wife. And as long as it lines up with God's word, you encourage your wife to do the things that are necessary to help her to get this resolved, whatever the issue is. But we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful in our relationships with our money, with our time, with our talents. We have to be faithful. And the last thing that love is that love is forever. Yeah. Most people will tell you that when they found their mate, they were praying for them. Now, if you're talking to God about a relationship, you're asking God to send this individual into your life, and the God sends this individual into your life, and you really feel that God has sent this individual into your life, then that means that's forever. Mm. Because if God doesn't give you anything, then he's not going to help you get through.
Yeah.
So whatever you pray for, God knows about it ahead of time. And what God does is God gives us the things that we need, not only to give us companionship, to give us comfort and peace and all those things, but God gives us something that's going to also bolster us. He's going to give us a help me. And sometimes that help me is going to have to say some hard things to you to get you to where God wants you to be. Sometimes that help me is going to be quiet when you think they ought to be speaking, so that God can get you to where you need to be. So love is forever. Love is not something that you run into. I heard my pastor says that you don't fall into love and fall out of love. Especially if you're praying about it. How do you fall out of something that God has given you? So what are you telling me? You're telling me when you decide that, hey, her teeth have fell out, her hair has gotten short, she's put on 20, 30 extra pounds. You're telling me that God made a mistake. But I'm here to tell you, the God I serve don't make no mistake. And if I prayed for somebody, then that's the somebody that God intends for me to be with. And so love is forever. And so what I have to do is I have to do the things necessary to make sure that this love is forever. Christ came and loved the church. He didn't love it while he was just on the earth. He loved it before the foundation of the world. And he's going to love it until he comes back again. And that's what we have to do. The Word of God tells us that we must love our wives like Christ loved the church. And Christ loves the church forever. And so we have to love our spouses forever. Not just when they're doing the things that we want them to do.
Yeah.
Not when they're saying the things that we want to hear. We have to love their family. You know, one of the things that really, 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 really has always impressed me is the arranged marriages. The parents would go, the dads would go out, and they would find their sons or their daughters a spouse. And they would arrange this marriage, the dowries exchanged, the dowries given, and they would marry this individual. And you know, they learn to love that individual forever, because some of them, their spouses die, but they learn to love them. They don't know them. They don't know them coming in. They don't know what's coming. They don't know what's coming. But they learn to love them because they're focused. They're faithful. And they know love is failing. So what they do is, they purpose in their heart that they're going to love that individual. And there are individuals who have been in arranged marriages for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years and die in those relationships. And here we are in America. Here we are, the body of Christ in Oklahoma, which has the highest rate of divorce. Something's wrong with that picture. Something is not right in that we marry, and then all of a sudden, you can leave if you want to. That's not family love. That's not loving like Christ loved the church. So tonight, as we walk through what love is focused. That means it's something I need to be working on. Love is faithful, which also means that irregardless of what goes on, I'm going to remain steady. You know, I was going back to faithful right quick. I was married to my first wife. And I said, I'm going to be married to this woman for the rest of my life. Because I believe in biblical principles. You know, I believe that the Word of God says it, and that sells it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, it sells it. And in the Bible it says, Moses gave, God didn't give this, Moses gave a ground for divorce, and that was adultery. And I was married to this woman. And from day one, unfaithful. But I chose, I purposed, I focused, I remained faithful, that I was going to finish this marriage out. And she left and moved in with somebody. I didn't go get no divorce. She got tired of that, come on back. I did all I was supposed to, trying to do whatever I was supposed to do. And she decided she was going somewhere else. It went. I stayed. I mean, left me and the kids. Come on back. You know, whenever you're ready, come on back. Because I believe that's what God would have me to do. I believe that my life as a Christian could affect her life. And the Bible talks about that. Because I prayed for her all the time. And then finally she did it the last time. And she did it once. I'm just giving you a few times. But God finally, I spoke to my spirit this time. No, but it had been years. She limited God for years. So I finally went and got a divorce. But we have to follow Scripture. We can't just follow our own whims, our own way of doing things. We have to follow the Spirit of God. And if you put God in the middle of your relationship, you put God in the middle of your marriage, your marriage can be forever. Your marriage can last a lifetime. Your marriage can last for all eternity if you allow God's forever love to lead your relationship or your marriage. which can't do it being in the flesh. You can't do it thinking that you're the boss. You can't do it being whipped. Yes, dear. No, dear. That's not God's plan for things. Man up and do what God said to. Lead your family in the way God would have it to go. And as you love your wife like Christ loved the church, things will smooth out. Don't mean you ain't gonna have no problems. But you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna continue to take these things to God. God's gonna work them out. Because the problems you go through in your marriage, all the little bumps in the road, to help you get to where God wants you to be. Now I encourage us to apply ourselves by focusing.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that will make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet Him on His terms. And His terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible says that we have all sinned come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of a living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born into the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. And you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home. And put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart. If your life is changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life, we just want to thank God for how He's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. I'm not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page. Or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100. And you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.